Blessed assurance. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let's remain standing as we look to the Lord in prayer. And we're happy this morning to have Brother Gene Rice back with us from a little stroke that he had, spent Friday and Saturday in the hospital, and Sunday he's in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And we're glad for that. Brother Gene, will you lead us please in prayer?
Hey. That person leave this church without knowing you as our Savior. And thank you for all the many blessings you've given us. And thank you to this church and our pastor and all the wonderful people in it. It's a blessing. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. It's good to be here. I read in the paper this week, probably you saw it too, that the state of California is in a drought situation. Hasn't rained in quite a while, and water is getting scarce. But there's a river.
Yeah.
There's a river. Jesus said that when you know Him as your personal Savior, you'll have the Holy Spirit inside you, and you'll have rivers of living water.
Amen.
So there's no scarcity of living water. We may not have too much of that stuff you wash your face in, but we've got lots of living water. And the living water is flowing today, deep and wide. And we're glad that you're here today to rejoice with us. And we're looking forward to a wonderful day today. By the way, when you pray, just go ahead if you feel like it, the Lord leads. Ask him for some rain. You know, this drought may be his judgment upon a wicked nation, upon a wicked state. Who knows? But it may not. And so we want to go to the Lord and we'll ask him. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Brother David, come lead us in another good song.
Praise God. Amen. The more I see things happening to people in the church, like Brother Gene and Pastor and other folks, the more I understand that all we can do is trust the Lord. We can control some things. We can control our how we eat, you know, our exercise. The Bible says exercise profiteth little. And a little, I mean, at least it's a little. So we can try, you know, to do those things. But when it really comes down to it, it's our trust in the Lord that gets us through. I told you guys last week that the Lord gave me a song. And it was Till the Storm Passes Over. You know, and that song just kept running through my head. And I praise God for that. I do. And I'm just so happy to be here. Happy to see everyone, and I just praise God. Thank Jesus for it. Number, we're gonna change the song. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Welcome, Steve. Amen.
Amen.
We're gonna sing number 260. 260.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the just because he lives. And then one day, across the river, I'll fight life's fun in no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he reigns because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Would you all stand, and we're going to sing number 549. 549.
God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land, far below the storm. Within the castle of God's word retreating, nothing that can reach me, 'tis Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot sheltered here, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here there's not can harm me. I am safe forever in Beulah land. I'm living on the manna, on the light that cloudless sky. I'm drinking at at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land. Viewing here the works of God, I see in contemplation. Hearing now his blessed voice, I see the way he planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn the full salvation. Gladly will I tarry, 'tis Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the scarlet sky. Praise God. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land.
Brother Roger, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we again thank you so much for the many blessings you give us. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful weather. And Lord, we pray that everything that is done here today will be to glorify you. We pray for our pastor who breaks open the word to us, Lord, that hearts and minds will be tuned to you. Again, we thank you for this church that you've given us, that preaches and teaches your word without compromise. Lord, I pray that you use this gift and the giver to further the gospel here at Old Time Baptist Church and throughout the world to missionaries and preach. I thank you so much. I thank you so much for dying on the cross and loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Couple of specials. We're not through singing yet. We got a lot to sing about. Brother Johnny, will you come on up, please? In the evening service tonight, I want to apologize. I lost my notes. I had a telephone call, made arrangements to have a special speaker here tonight. He is advertised there as the what? The flute guy. He gave me his thing on the internet, and I lost it, and I couldn't get on there to hear him. And so tonight will be the first time I'll hear him too, unless I find that piece of paper that I was writing on when I talked to him. But anyway, I think he'll enjoy the service tonight. So you come out and let's hear what the flute guy has to say. He's got a last, he goes by, what's his name?
David K.
David K. David's a good name. We've got some around here. The K stands for Constantinopolis or something like that. It sounds Greek to me. But he told me what his last name was. I think that was it, Constantinopolis. Did you ever know any of you ever hear him? First time. All right, he'll be here tonight. So let's prepare for a blessing. Brother Pat.
That flute guy dot com.
All right. Listen to a preview of it this afternoon. All right, Brother Johnny has a song for us. Do you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you do.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I want to praise God for keeping Brother Gene in his protected arms.
Amen.
Because, I know about that.
Yep.
And it's not fun. Yep. But you know what? That's why he's so good. All the time, always. That's why I'm going to bless his name until he take me home, please. In prison of chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas, they prayed at night, and in their pain, they began to sing. In their chains were loosed, and they were free. I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name, Lord, I bless your name. The oh, if you define you're in a prison in your mind, just reach out and pray. Name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you the praise. You are your name, so I bless your name. You are the light, the truth, the way. So I bless your name, my Lord. Oh, I bless your name.
I do, Pastor. Glory to my Lord. He's the one who keeps all our lives.
All right. That's a tough act to follow. Wow. But we've got a one again. Are you ready to sing for us? You? Yeah. Let's set this right here.
No introduction.
She was introduced last week.
I have to tune it first. This song is about when Peter went out on the water to walk towards Jesus. And he sank, and Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And I think this song is also, it references Psalm 42 when it says, "Deep calls unto deep." And that's God calling us deeper, calling us to have faith in him. The song is called Oceans, and it's by Hillsong. Thanks for letting me sing. You called me out upon the water, in oceans deep, where feet may fail. There I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rise in your embrace, for I am and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, so you won't start now. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine, oh, oh. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon waters, wherever you call me. Just take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rise in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine.
This has been a wonderful Sunday so far, hasn't it? Oh, I'll tell you. Thank you for the beautiful song. My message today is from 2 Kings chapter 5. Open your Bibles and follow along in here if you will. 2 Kings chapter 5. I can remember back as a young boy, and hey, that's been a long time ago. But one of my favorite Bible stories was about a leper by the name of Naaman, who dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times. And was cured of his leprosy. And I can still remember that story. And that's been a long time ago. And I'm telling it to some of you today that are younger, as young as I was then. And I want you to learn it, and I want it to, a long time from now, I want you to remember this story. This is a classic story of God's provision for unbelievers. Now, there's two sections to this chapter. There is a joyous section, and there is a troubling section. And it's about two lepers. First of all, let's take the joyful section. It seems that this story has its beginning in a place called Syria. Have you heard about that? Why, it's on the front page of the newspaper every day. It's on every newscast that comes on the television set. Syria. It's been around for a long time and it's still there. Syria is a neighboring nation to Israel. And they share a common border. We don't know who the king of Syria was at this particular time in 2 Kings 5. But we do know that he had chosen a man by the name of Naaman to be the high-ranking official over all of the Syrian troops. And this story is about him. Naaman was a man of high social and economic standing in Syria. He was a rich man, had lots of money and position. He was a brave and loyal soldier who had proved himself in battle, and God Almighty had taken a liking to him. In fact, God had used him to lead Syria in deliverance from their enemies. But Naaman was a leper. Today they call it Hansen's disease. You don't hear much about it, but there is still an awful lot of it around, and it's found in every nation on the face of the earth. People still have leprosy today, even though not too much is said about it. Leprosy is a very contagious disease. And lepers are confined to what they call lazer houses, L-A-Z-E-R. And that name comes from a man by the name of Lazarus in the Bible. He's considered the patron saint of lepers, even though the Bible doesn't say to us that Lazarus was a leper. Now, there are a couple of Lazaruses. Let's get them straight in the Bible. We'll be sure we get the right one. This is the one who was the beggar in Luke 16, who was laid at the rich man's gate, hungry, cold, exposed to the elements, desiring to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. The one that died wound up in Abraham's bosom. Now, a person with leprosy had to wear a mask over their face to keep from spreading germs. And they were prohibited from getting within a certain distance of a person because it was very contagious. They didn't want anybody else catching leprosy. They say that a person with leprosy develops skin sores on his body, loses nerve sensations. Now, don't go examining yourself. That's not leprosy you have, chances are. It destroys bone, it destroys cartilage in the Bible, and disfigures the person. The leper will quite often lose fingers and toes from the disease, and they develop lumps under their skin, and it often causes blindness. It's a very horrible, incurable disease, and it's no respecter of persons. It hits the rich as well as the poor. Now, at some time in the past, Naaman and his soldiers had made a raid on Israel, and during that raid they had captured a young Israeli girl and brought her as a slave back into Syria. And Naaman took her and brought her into his household, and she became a handmaid for Naaman's wife. She's the one that folded the clothes and washed the dishes and swept the floors and things like that, you know. She was a maid servant. Now, one day, this little maid servant said to Naaman's wife, she says, "Would to God my lord," speaking of Naaman, "were with the prophet that's in Samaria." Now, that would have been Elisha. "For he would recover him of his leprosy." Now, isn't that something? Here is a man who has probably been to the best doctors, and the doctors would say, "Fella, you have leprosy. We can't do anything for you." And yet here is a little Israeli maid working as a servant in Naaman's house. And she says, "I know somebody that could cure him of his leprosy." She was referring, of course, to God's prophet Elisha. Well, Naaman's wife mentioned that to Naaman, and he in turn went to the king of Syria, and he says, King, I hear there's a man in Samaria, a prophet, who can cure leprosy. I'd like to take a few days leave to go check him out. The king says, sure. In fact, I'll write a letter to Jehoram, who is the king of Israel, and tell him that you're coming. So he sat down and wrote the letter, and the letter said in part, I'm looking at this from Jehoram's standpoint now. The king of Israel, he gets this letter and he's reading it. King of Syria says, I am sending my servant Naaman to you that you may cure him of his leprosy. Wow. You can imagine the reaction that Jehoram had from that. You remember, of course, that there's no cure for leprosy. And this king said, I'm sending you this leper so that you can cleanse him of his leprosy. And when Jehoram got that, boy, he ripped his clothes. He rent his clothes and says, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? He's seeking a quarrel against us. He's looking for an excuse to invade us. Well, it happens that way sometimes. Somehow, the prophet Elisha heard about this. So he sent word to Jehoram, and he said, let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. Now, we've got a lot of speculation going along from one king to another. Now then, it's in the prophet's hands, and somehow or other then, the message is relayed to Naaman. He's the subject of all of this discussion. So Naaman hears about it. So Naaman and his party proceed on down to Elisha's house. I can picture it in my mind. He's riding in his fancy Cadillac chariot, pulled by those beautiful white horses. And he pulls up in Elisha's front yard and pulls back on the reins and says, whoa. He gets out of his carriage and he walks up to Elisha's front door, knocks on the door. Elisha knew he was coming, but whatever he's doing, he considers to be more important than messing around with a leper at his front door. So he doesn't even shut his computer off. He just keeps on going back here and calls his servant in, and he tells him, he says, go out there and tell Naaman, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. So the servant goes back to the door and says, Mr. Naaman, Elisha says, go jump in the creek. I mean, that's the way it sounded to Naaman. Go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be clean. How ridiculous. Naaman was wroth. That means he was mad, angry, upset, out of shape. He told his aide, he says, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, those are two main rivers in Syria around Damascus, he says, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He was an unhappy camper. He was not used to being treated so disrespectful, especially in the presence of his troops. He was humiliated. But he had some aides there with him that finally talked some sense to him, said to him, if Elisha had asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you do it? How much rather then that he said to you, wash and be clean. Naaman thought it over, reasoned in his mind, and he came to the right conclusion. He got back into his chariot and he drove it down to the banks of the Jordan River. Found a place there where he had access to go down to the water. I can see him. He waded out into that water till it probably got about this deep. And all of his men standing around here on the bank watching him. I can imagine how foolish he must have felt. But he took hold of his nose and he dipped himself down one time. Came up soaking wet, still a leper. He did it twice, three, four, five, six times. That leprosy did not leave him gradually. When he came up out of the water after the sixth dip, he still had the leprosy just as much as he did when it started. It hadn't faded away a bit. But that seventh time was the charmer. The seventh time he dipped down, and when he came up out of the water, this is what God says. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. I can't wait to say it, but there is a stream of blood that flows through the life of every individual. There comes a time when that individual has a choice. He can trample that blood underfoot and count it as an unholy thing and go on his way. Or he can, by faith, plunge himself beneath that blood and lose all his guilty stains. That's what this is telling us here. When Naaman came out of that water after dipping that seventh time, his flesh was like that of a little child, and he was clean. That's the blessing of obedience, doing what God says, God's way. And Naaman became a believer in Elisha's God. He said, "Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." He's a believer. He believes now in God. He went back to Elisha's house. And this time, apparently, Elisha came out. Because Naaman said to Elisha, "I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. I want to give you something for this. I don't want to pay for what you've done for me. This is not remuneration." But he said, "I want to do this as an offering, as a sacrifice, as a gift for what I have freely received. And I will freely give it." Elisha turned him down. Now, he had brought a whole chariot load of gold and silver and changes of raiment. But now, Elisha turns it down. Naaman asked him, he said, "I would like to take a couple of sacks of good old Israeli dirt back home with me." You know, when you go to Israel, you always want to bring something back. 20 years ago, I was over there, went down to the Dead Sea, and I picked up a pebble about that big. Carried it in my pocket all the time I was over there, and brought it back home with me. Still have it on my desk. I collect things like that. Dumb things. Got a rock. Oh, not only that. Somebody gave me this. I had a friend that went over there, and they brought me back a vial, little bottle about 3 inches high, of water. And I think it's from the Jordan River. It's been that too is sitting up there at my desk. I haven't looked at it in a long time, but I think it's water from the Jordan River. If there's anybody here that, if you get really sick and you've got lots of faith and you come down and see Dr. Wetzel, and I'll let you take a little sip of that Jordan River water and see if it'll do you any good. But you got to have the faith. Without faith, that water is no different from what you get out of the tap in your kitchen.
It's probably very potent by
now. It's aged. Yeah. In glass. Anyway, Naaman said, "I'd like to take a couple of sacks of dirt back with me." Elisha said, "What do you want with dirt?" He said, "Well," he said, "my master, the king of Syria, is a worshiper of Rimmon." Now, chances are you've never heard of Rimmon. I hope he never makes a comeback. Rimmon means thunder. And Rimmon is a title used of the Aramean storm god by the name of Hadad. And the king of Syria worshipped Rimmon. And when the king would go into the temple of Rimmon to worship, Naaman, his right-hand man, would go in with him. But now then, he doesn't want to go in there to worship Rimmon anymore. He says, "Now, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord will pardon me for doing it." So if you have 10 folks or somebody that dies, they have a funeral in a mosque, and you don't believe like the Muslims do. Take some Israeli dirt in there with you. I guess that's what they used it for. But anyway, Elisha and Naaman parted. Elisha says to him, "Go in peace." So this is a joyful occasion. Here he's going back to Syria. He's cleansed of his leprosy. But Elisha has a servant. His name is Gehazi. And Gehazi was not completely satisfied by the way this all went down. So he, being a little more practical minded, he saw Naaman returning with those 10 talents of silver that he had brought. A royal talent is 150 pounds of silver. One talent, and he's got 10. That's 1,500 pounds of silver. Wow. And he had 6,000 pieces of gold. I mean, he was ready and willing to pay a pretty high price for cleansing from leprosy, and he got it for free. He'd also brought 10 changes of clothing to offer as a gift to Elisha. Now, Gehazi knew that, so here he comes, running down the road after Naaman. Naaman saw him coming, and he stopped his chariot and waited till Gehazi ran up there. He says, "Is all well?" Gehazi says, "Don't get excited. All is well." He says, "After you," here's his lie, "after you left, two young men of the sons of the prophets came from Mount Ephraim. And Elisha sent me to see if you would give them a talent of silver and 2 changes of raiment." And Naaman said, "Sure, I'll even give you 2 talents of silver." So he put 350 pounds of silver in 2 sacks and had 2 of his servants carry it back to the house with Gehazi. And Gehazi hid the loot, the silver and the garments, in the house. That kind of reminds me of something that happened back in the days of Joshua when they went against Jericho at the Battle of Jericho. A fellow by the name of Achan. The Bible says there that he saw and took a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, that's only about 16 ounces, and a wedge of gold, 4 ounces of gold, and brought them back to his tent. And not knowing what else to do with them, he dug a hole in the ground beneath his tent and buried it in there. It got Israel, the whole nation, in trouble, and they lost a bunch of men in the next battle that they fought. Elisha asked him, "Gehazi, where have you been?" He lied again. "Oh, I didn't go anywhere. I've been here all the time." Elisha told him, he says, "I know where you've been, and I know what you've done. You're in deep trouble." Now, here's where the second leper comes into this story, and this is the tragic part of it. Verse 27, as punishment for Gehazi's sin, "The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, And unto thy seed, that's your offspring, your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, etc., etc. And thy seed, how long? Forever. Forever. And Gehazi went out from Elisha's presence a leper as white as snow. What happened to Naaman's leprosy? Oh, it got washed away in the Jordan River. The current of the river carried it out to sea or wherever it went. No, it didn't. It clave to Gehazi. The Bible doesn't say, but I wouldn't be surprised if when nobody was looking, Gehazi slipped off down there to the Jordan River and dipped seven times.
It didn't work.
Gehazi became a leper. His children became lepers. His grandchildren became lepers. And probably there are lepers today who descended from Gehazi after 2,875 years. His descendants are still lepers because it stayed with his family forever. And forever's not over yet. That was God's sentence. The sins of the parent being visited upon the children. Time and time again, you see this in the Bible. It's a truth. Listen, there are times when God is good to you and blesses you, and you wonder, what did I do to deserve these blessings from God? You didn't. It's something your daddy did. Or your grandfather, or your great-grandfather. And God is blessing you because of them. He does things like that. And there are times when bad things happen to you. And you say, I wonder why God is punishing me. I didn't do anything to deserve any punishment like this. He didn't do it because of you. He did it because your granddaddy was a horse thief or something like that. And you're suffering for his sins. And I'll tell you something else. The reason why we are sickly today and the reason why we grow old and endure the pain and finally we die is because of something that a fellow named Adam did 6,000 years ago. We are sinners today, not because of what we do, but because of what Adam did. Because through one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of something Adam did 6,000 years ago. I know it's hard enough for us to suffer for our own transgressions without being put upon by our forefathers. That just makes it worse. But by the same token, you and I have been declared righteous in the sight of God. Not because we're so good, because all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. But our righteousness comes from Jesus Christ, and his righteousness has been imputed to us. And we can stand boldly in the presence of God, clothed in that robe of imputed righteousness from Jesus Christ. So we become a sinner because of what Adam did. We become a saint because of what Jesus did. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this study in the book of Kings about Naaman. I hope we've learned something from this today that will stay with us for the remainder of our lives. One thing, and the most important thing, is that you love us. Christ died for us on the cross, shed his blood, we might have the remission of our sins. And he's the only way. He's the only way to heaven. And Father, today, if there's one in this congregation that has never in their life put their faith and trust in you through Christ, I pray that today will be the day when they will just boldly step out and say, look, I want to be saved. I want to have the assurance that when this life is over, that my soul will go to heaven and not to hell. And Jesus is the way. He's the only way. He's the right way. So, Father, let the Holy Spirit today speak to hearts. Take the message that's been preached and bring conviction and bring salvation and healing to those who are tainted with the leprosy of sin, that they might be made whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 478.
478. Let's sing a verse of invitation before we go today. Today, will you come? God invites you to come. We have a home we can come to. That home has an altar. That home has a God. Brother Zimmerman, would you lead us, please, in our benediction this morning?